just your top five. And these words and the study of them and how they affect your life, they give you this interesting way to find, what do you really enjoy? And then instead of it feeling like you have to find the role, it's more like, I need to find a role in my life that allows me to lead through these five things naturally. I need a role that calls on these and wants these. And then I can give my best contribution to the world, and it will feel amazing. And it might not be the role I suspected at all.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I'm Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hey there, great to have you on board for this week's episode with Lisa Cummings. Lisa has delivered events to thousands of participants in over 14 countries, and she's one of those unique MBAs who is more into studying people than analyzing numbers. You can see her work being featured in places like Harvard Business Publishing, Training Magazine, and Forbes, as well as on the TEDx stage. She's the founder and CEO of Lead Through Strength, where she helps individuals and teams boost their productivity by leveraging their strength. And of course, I talked to her about the value of being aware of one's own strength to then find a role that calls and wants these qualities. She also shares inspiring examples of breakthroughs that people and teams experienced when identifying their individual strength. Talking about her individual path, you will hear how Lisa went back and forth in entrepreneurship and corporate roles, and what feelings and fears she went through, when she was freshly hired but decided to leave that role that looked different on paper. How she managed to marry her passion with success, why she calls her career one of many experiments, and how she handles inner doubts. This and more you will hear now. Enjoy. Lisa, welcome. I'm very excited to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to get to have a conversation with you and talk to your audience.
Thanks again for being here. And maybe we start with the first question. If we would have the chance to ask your closest friend to tell us a bit more about the person, Lisa Cummings, what would he or she share with us?
Ooh, I've never been asked that question before. It's so fascinating. I think when I've heard people describe me, they usually say something about my energy, maybe a positive vibe, something about being fun-loving, but that I can also hold down a business conversation and do the intelligent stuff as well, but that I try to make things light and fun to not go through life being so boring.
Thanks for sharing that with us. And Lisa, looking at your path so far, it seems that today your profession and passion is to help people get the best out of themselves through strength-based development mainly. When did you realize what actually is your passion, and how did you shape your own path to marry your passion with success?
Wow. I think that question of passion is so difficult because I personally, and I do see a lot of people feeling the same way, that I like a lot of things and I want to try a lot of things and I'm interested in a lot of things, and it can really make you feel stuck if you are trying to narrow down to one single passion that would take over your life.
That's true.
And I think, wow, there are probably 10 other careers that would be interesting to explore, yet I'm fully engaged in what I do and what I've chosen. So, it's interesting when it comes to finding your path and finding your passion. I usually am in the place where I'm helping people loosen up about it and not put so much stress on themselves to find one thing, but to do something more like experiments where I call them the E's. So if you feel, because they all start with the letter E. So if you feel ease, if you feel energy, if you feel enjoyment, those kind of things put you in flow, and often you're using your strengths when you're doing them. And so if you spend some time taking notes on those things that really light you up and you find fun, then do some experiments to say, oh, could I make a career out of this? Would I want to? Am I having fun, or am I having fun and meanwhile, I also am offering something that the world would want to pay for? And so finding the intersection of all of those things, like what could I be the best in the world at? What is interesting and fun? And where could I run some experiments? And then also, what would people actually want to pay for? And then when those come together and you've run some experiments, a lot of times the paths reveal themselves. So I would say my career path, since you asked about mine specifically, it's
yeah, but thanks for the good advice that you have already shared.
Yeah. I think mine has been very windy. I didn't have a grand North Star plan for where I was going to. I started off thinking I wanted to be a teacher and a volleyball coach. And then I got into teaching children and thought, oh no, this is nothing like what I thought. So then I moved over and taught adults and thought, oh wow, this is great. But then I experienced marketing and I thought, oh, marketing is really interesting too. And there's so many neat things around that. And I definitely would say my career has been one of experiments, but you mentioned to me when we've chatted in the past about how a thread for me that is common is it's always been centered around people. And looking back, that's clear to see. But while I was going through it, I don't think I really knew that consciously.
Something we share. but I mean, from what I saw, it looks like people were in focus of your work. And yeah, you had kind of colorful journey. Maybe you want to talk us a bit through that, just to give us a bit more insights about how you actually then ended up where you are today.
Oh, sure. Well, I would say the grounding at the beginning of my career doing learning and development in corporate, it was being a trainer for adults. I did technical training on software. I did training to help people who were getting licensed up to do financial services. And in the US, we had this Series 6, Series 63. It's kind of like a financial planner type of certification that you get. And so I helped the representatives who were going to be helping the customers with their money. And that seemed interesting and new. But then when I got into the self-development area and I realized there were career development and professional development trainers out there in the world, that really piqued my interest because I love human behavior and I love helping people figure out how they can be at their best and exploring how I could be at my best. So that led me to experiment with some human resources roles, some of which were perfect fits, some of them were awful for me. And then during that time, I was also learning how to be a manager and then be a director, where I managed people who managed people. So all of those things were personal growth opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. And I've been one of those rare people, I think, who left. I went out on my own to start a training company, but then because another amazing opportunity presented itself where I could be the VP of products, and they were VP of learning products. So I got to do a little bit more of an operationally focused and product focused role, but it was around learning and development. So it was a perfect way to expand in my leadership and do another function. And then I got the itch to be out on my own again. So I've been back and forth in entrepreneurship and corporate roles, and I've loved every experience and opportunity, but that's kind of how the path went. It was basically, ooh, if I'm running toward it, then I would usually allow myself to try it out. And if I feel like I'm running away from something, like, oh, I need to quit this job because it's not a good fit, I would question myself and say, now don't run away. Don't do something hasty, but make sure that you are looking to something that you love and letting that drive the decision process each time.
Yeah. Did that ever lead to a decision that you would call the hardest call the hardest decision you ever had to make throughout this journey?
Yes. You know, the hardest decision I ever had to make was leaving corporate and going out on my own the first time. I had taken a role and it was sucking my soul, but I didn't understand why. And I had joined this new team the people were great. The company was interesting. The role was interesting on paper. And when I got in, I could tell really quickly that the role on paper, as we talked about it in the interview, isn't mm-hmm. what the role was going to be, at least for another 6 months or a year until there could be some turnaround situations happening on the company. And so it was a terrible fit role. And because I loved the people that I worked with and I had made a commitment, you know, they invested in me to do the interviews. They hired me. I left my other job and all these things had happened. And I felt like we all had a lot of costs and investment in me being in this role. And I was also scared about, well, if I leave, then what would I do? And I hadn't planned a company to start. And so even the idea of entrepreneurship, it sounded interesting. Mm-hmm. It sounded cool, but I didn't have that in my family. I didn't know if I could be successful at it. And it was so scary, both from a can I do this perspective and a what an awful thing to let someone down when they've hired me so fresh to the company and they're people that I admire and people that I want to keep a relationship and not burn a bridge and not let them down. So it was difficult from both perspectives. And I don't know what would have prompted me to just make the decision. But one day my husband and I were sitting on the sofa on a Sunday night and we're having just, you know, Sunday night conversation. And he looked over and said, "What happened?" And it was because when I spoke, I was in the middle of a sentence. And normally I'm kind of light, fast talker. And all of a sudden I have one of these funny breaths and he says, "What was that?" And I made light of it. And I said, "Oh, Sunday night, heart palpitations. Yeah, no problem." And he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Does this really happen every Sunday night?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, every Sunday." And he's like, "You can't live like that." So that night, we stayed up until about 3 a.m. And we had to go through all of this worst case scenario planning. It was, well, what happens if I leave? What happens if I leave and they hate me and I burn the bridge that I don't want to burn? What would that mean to me? What happens if I'm totally broke because I make no revenue in 2 years and we're about to lose everything we've built in our whole life? So I tried to go to the worst case scenario. And we, at the time, we had an RV. We would go camping in this house on wheels. And we came to the worst case scenario that our poverty would be that we would live in a national park and a forest, and we would be in this house on wheels, and it would be a beautiful life in the forest, and it would be just fine. And I needed to go through that whole arc to convince myself that it would be okay. I'm not going to live in a box under a bridge, and we will get through this, and I won't let ever. And even if I let everyone down, I'll be okay, and I'll be resilient. But that was probably the toughest decision I can remember in my career.
Yeah, thanks for sharing this. I was actually, yeah, standing here smiling because my decision to leave the organization I was working for and, yeah, starting off with my own business was actually also taken on a Sunday on the couch with my husband very late.
Wow.
After reflecting, into all directions. And, yeah, my thoughts were, yeah, going in circles before, but I at that time I realized that a decision was made. I just needed to talk about it and put it out there and share it with my husband. I was just smiling because this what you've just described kind of sounded familiar. And also what you've just shared, that the worst scenario would not even be that bad. I mean, it could even be a dream that other people have. So right. That, of course, helps, right? To then just say, you know, why not trying? And in the end, the worst thing could also be just going back into a corporate world or the NGO world where I was working in before I started my own business. But I mean, we will always fall on both feet, right? It's not like we have nothing we can build on.
Yes. Oh, how interesting that you had a similar experience. I bet a lot of people do. And you think, well, I don't want to let down my significant other because I don't want to be a bad teammate at home. Mm-hmm. And then you brought up that point about how if you decided to go back to corporate, well, you did a good job when you were there. You know lots of people mm-hmm. from your past jobs. You would probably land on your feet and be just fine. And you might end up about where you left, only in a better fit. it's so even that outcome is better, but you're catastrophizing it in your mind while you're going in circles trying to decide how you're going to decide.
Yeah, true. And also this letting down others, I had this thought as well, because I was also managing managers at that time. And I also thought, like, I cannot just leave. And we had a big program at that time. I mean, this program ran for many years, but still I felt like I cannot leave them alone. I cannot let them down. And I support people on that end now as well. But at that time for myself, I mean, I don't know how you see it, but sometimes it's more difficult taking the perspective on your own and talking about your own life. So it's difficult to not have someone else from an external perspective helping you reflect on the situation. But in the end, I also ask myself, okay, what would these colleagues that I had in mind say if I would share with them how I feel, how everything is right now, that I'm not happy with what I'm doing, and that there's something that is really, that is burning inside of me and that I want to try. And in the end, it came out like, what could they say other than, hey, go for it. We're happy if you have found something that you feel driven to and that you want to explore. And that was in the end also the case. So also that is sometimes interesting to just really change perspective and think like, what would they say? And I think most of the time we might be surprised.
Yes. You know, you're bringing up for me when you say that, I had a colleague that I used to work with who was always worrying. And I would stop her sometimes and say, okay, just humor me. Think of two or three possible positives that could happen. Just make them up, because we're just guessing what the future will be. Just make up two possible positives that could come out of it. Because when you're worrying, you're making up possible negatives. And it was so easy for me to do that with her. But then when it was me worrying about my future, my letting down people, suddenly I forgot to do this exercise with myself.
It's strange. It really surprises me. And even now in some moments where suddenly things pop up, opportunities that I would never have guessed that they will ever happen. And then I see myself in there and it's like I'm in a tunnel and I feel overwhelmed. And in this case, it's now about a partnership with a business magazine that wants to talk about a proper partnership, working on different formats and also video formats and events and so on. And for me, it was like, oh my God, no, I cannot be on a stage. I that's not me. And how could I? And I don't know how it works. And I never did this. And yeah, then having someone else like, hey, Gina, wake up. If you say yes, it's not like you're going to do that tomorrow. You can prepare. You can also decide on timings and what is happening and what not. And that was so strange, because it was like, yeah, sure. Why was I so focused on everything I could not do yet, rather than thinking, yeah, there's a lot I might need to prepare and learn and being able to shape that as well. But it's just, yeah. Sorry, I just enjoy sharing this with you. It's crazy how it works for me doing it, helping others with it, but I still find myself in these situations, happy to have people around me, waking me up.
Yes. It's exactly what attracts me to focusing on strengths as a career focus and for the professional development training that we offer, because it's so easy. I guess it's the cognitive bias we have as humans to focus on the negative. That's easy for us to see. So we can put our minds in a circle thinking, what could go wrong and why will this be difficult? And just like in your scenario that you described, your mind wasn't going to, well, what natural talents do I have that would make me do great with this media opportunity? Or what could I do with my preparation time, and how could I be a unique guest for them? And instead of instantly going to what do I have that will already lead me to being great in this scenario or being able to contribute or help someone with this opportunity, instead our minds go to, well, I don't have that experience. So no way, I'm going to have to turn that down. I wouldn't be the best one for them to pick for this. And it is this, I think, thinking about your natural talents or your natural strengths, the ones that you've developed over time. This is a thing that it's a simple concept, but it's very difficult to do day over day, because you have to remind yourself to change your mind frame and do that consciously to get some balance in your thinking and your decision making. And once you do, it opens up this, oh yeah, it's like having your friend who said, Gina, come on, look at this other side. It's like having that friend on your shoulder, but it's the other side of your mind, and you're asking it to turn on when it's just been lying there dormant.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've learned a lot from that, actually, also because I went through a supervision coaching process for myself and figure out what it is that I need. So I'm on my way to get there and getting rid of this initial like, oh my God, no, it's a no, it's a no. But you just talked about strength, and I was wondering, maybe you can share with us your definition of strength.
Sure. So when I'm using the Clifton Strengths assessment, I go with the same definition that Gallup uses. And first, we talk about the definition of natural talent, which is just how you naturally think or feel or act when you're at your default. And then when we layer on the idea of strengths, it's when you take that natural talent and you're able to apply it to any given situation and get to some near perfect performance over time. And so when you think about that definition, what it leads you to is that my working process around strengths is about how you operate, not about what you do. So a lot of times people on their resumes or their CVs, they talk a lot about their skills and their knowledge and their expertise, and that's great. I would not recommend stopping that part, but that's where people do stop. They focus on what they know. And so the reason why I love using this definition of strengths is that it allows people to focus on how they think, how they relate to people, how they influence, how they make decisions, how they get things done. And it opens up this whole other area of their career brand and where you can show up with a big contribution in the world. So it's a little different from what some people would think of as strengths if you just set it out there in the world, but it makes it really specific to how you operate.
I was actually also taking this Gallup test once, actually before I started off with my own business. Now, coaching people who are at a turning point or are asking themselves questions like, what is my path? And what came out was really surprising and 100% proving that I was following not only a passion, but also my strength. So that was a very interesting experience. And from what I read, people doing such strength finder tests, and also I think you stated that on your website, through this being aware of what really drives them and their actions, that people report 6 times more engagement when they are at work and 3 times the quality of life. Would you also agree that this awareness is a super valuable factor when it is about actively shaping one's own future?
Oh, absolutely. Especially because people often don't know what they want out of their future, or they're spinning their minds in circles, as you've mentioned, where they're thinking, oh, I don't know that one passion. I don't know the one thing. How do I know what I really, really want? I have a lot of things I like, but is that what I really want for a career? And how do I pick from 10 of them? And what if I don't have experience in the things that I think I really want? And then it just seems too big to tackle. So people get so stuck in this transition space. And what I think something like StrengthsFinder can open up for people is, you get these 5 words if you do the one that reveals just your top 5. And these words and the study of them and how they affect your life, they give you this interesting way to find, what do you really enjoy? And then instead of it feeling like you have to find the role, it's more like, I need to find a role in my life that allows me to lead through these 5 things naturally. I need a role that calls on these and wants these. And then I can give my best contribution to the world, and it will feel amazing. And it might not be the role I suspected at all. And then the opposite happens as well, where people will do something like, well, I will be a doctor or a nurse because I care about people. But then they have this very deep empathy and connectedness and relationship orientation to people, and they get very drained by the job because being around sick people and sad people isn't something that they thought of as the main part of the job. They thought about the skills of it. So then it brings them down. Whereas if you use your strengths and you think about the results from the StrengthsFinder assessment and you think, what kind of roles would want these qualities, it makes it really interesting to go out and explore other possibilities when you've been narrowing yourself down.
Yeah, starting off from this different perspective, can you maybe share a story of someone's special moment of breakthrough after being aware of his or her strength afterwards?
Sure.
Maybe you have an own story. I'm not sure.
There are. Yeah, of course there are. So there are several. One super fast one, and then I'll give you a little bit more detailed one, was a moment in one of our training classes where this guy is an engineer and he works in an area that supports sales and has some customer facing role. And he said in front of the team, he leads through this StrengthsFinder talent theme called restorative. And it means you love to fix things. And he said in front of the team, oh yeah, I love to fix things. In fact, I love escalation calls are probably my favorite part of the day. And what you did, that's what the whole room did. It was like 40 people going, what? And he's like, oh yeah, because I have this deep subject matter expertise and I can turn it around. And I know when they get to me, their frustrations are finished because I know I can resolve it for them. And that was a moment where the room had so much insight from him because they realized, oh, if you're free to say, I love this and I want more of this, then imagine the manager sitting in the room can say, ooh, we can take escalation calls off of the plates of these other people who don't like it at all, give it to him, fill his day with things he likes more. And the other people on the team can see essentially what I call one person's trash task is another person's treasured task. You know, you start to realize, oh, I love these things. They hate these things. I hate these things. They love these things. So those are some moments. And if you can find those, what is the thing that makes you a little bit weird or unique, or you get so excited about it. Maybe you even get excited about it in a way where people are glossing over on that thing. And it tells you, okay, I'm really into this. I'm into this in a way that other people aren't. Even last night, I was talking to my husband about some new hi-hats. I'm a drummer, and about these
tones, a drummer,
and the cymbals. Yeah.
Okay. Surprise.
Surprise. And I just remember this moment where I'm talking about how whether they're thin or that they're 15 inches instead of the 13 inch ones that I have now and how that affects the tones. And I'm getting really excited talking about all of these things. And he's kind of trying to do that thing where he's trying to be supportive and excited for you, but you know, he's not really into the details of the tone of this metal over that metal or this. And I think, okay, that's a clue. And we all have those clues. We have those moments where maybe it is that someone glossed over, or they're making that face at you where they're like, you are nerding out on this topic and I'm not into it, but I'm into the fact that you're into it, but I don't really care about the content. Those are great clues into the things that fire you up and can really give you a turnaround in your career.
Yeah, what a nice example. Also, what you've just mentioned in regards to the team training, I mean, it needs the space, right? It needs the space to share this, being aware of this. Then also it needs a manager to say like, hey, this is amazing. Let's see where we can go from there, how we can build a team maybe based on these strengths and what drives us in order to help everyone develop and help everyone doing more of what they are really keen on doing and what they're good at. So if you have the setting of being in a team workshop or team coaching and this comes out, this is amazing. But I think there could be more of this, leveraging the strength of each individual in order to really get to the full potential of the team.
Definitely. And you're right. It's a bonus when the manager is opening the conversation up in a way that says, hey, let's hear from each person. I remember working with a woman individually when she didn't have the scenario with her manager being supportive. And although he was a supportive person, but they just didn't have the conversation in a vehicle, like a conversation based on these topics. But what she was finding is that she was very, very drained in her job, and she had been touted as a top performer and she was one of the best. She had recently been promoted onto this executive team, but once she got to the executive team, she started feeling very much like she didn't belong there. And what she was noticing is all of the other people in the room were always talking about visionary things and big picture and the inspiring future. But her mind just didn't feel wired like that. She's the prudent operations thinker type. She was always into systems and structures and resources. And she's a planner. And she would find herself getting more and more frustrated with the lack of practicality on the executive team, how she didn't fit with them, how they were too idealistic and not really understanding the budget and the time and the resources it would take to get things done. And she started detaching And luckily, through this process of strengths, it opened up a conversation that she initiated with her manager. So they didn't have a training session, mm-hmm. but she talked to her manager about it and said, I feel like what I offer to the team isn't what the team seems to want, because the culture of the team is this visionary, big picture, futurist kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And luckily, she opened this conversation because he said, that's why we brought you on this team. That's exactly why you're here, because we wanted that perspective and we love how you bring that perspective to us. And if you silence it, we're not getting that contribution we brought you on for. And meanwhile, she's thinking, I need to turn into this other person so I fit into the team. But really, they didn't want her to try to do that. And it was draining her trying to be that. So there were so many lessons in that for knowing where you're grounded, where you feel you can really bring the contribution, what your mind is always working on anyway. Those things are often not easy for other people to think about. The people in the room with her, they didn't easily think about system structure, feet down at the front lines, who would be doing what tasks to get that done. That sounded awful for her peers to be thinking of that stuff, but she loved it. And now she finally let herself do that. And now she's a very valued contributor, but it's interesting what our minds do, where we decide that the team wants me to be this way, and therefore I'm going to act like someone I'm not. And then you're leaning on all of your weaknesses and draining yourself.
I can imagine that as a trainer and facilitator, you probably work with a range of different clients across different industries and fields with teams and individuals, supporting them to improve their performance and also achieve their goals. Is there anything that you see in common across successful people?
I think successful people are open enough to be self-aware and see who they are in relation to other people, and that they're not only willing to know themselves and hear feedback, but they are also willing to put in the work to understand how that could be of service to someone else. Because you could just be very self-aware and use it for selfish purposes, and then you don't add your contribution to the world. So when I look at the most successful people, I think it's that orientation to how do I know myself well and then offer that contribution.
And looking at yourself and which habits, patterns, or beliefs you have acquired in the, let's say, past 5 years made the biggest difference in your life?
How about one belief, one habit? Belief that is understanding how much is going on in our minds and that we make things mean things. And that as humans, we're always connecting all of these dots. And sometimes our assumptions are correct, but sometimes they're not. And so a belief for me is just really understanding that in almost every scenario, I am deciding what I am making it mean. It doesn't just mean that as a fact. And that lets me be more curious and open to other perspectives. And then habit. I started this habit, and it's also an exercise that I do with some of my training sessions, where we use a doorway. And when you think about walking through your life, you step through a lot of doorways, literally when you walk into the kitchen or you walk into the restroom at home or when you walk through the office door to go into a meeting room, you step through a lot of doorways. And I started using that as a habit building tool, where if you have something you want to change and you think of that thing every time you walk through a doorway, and you do that for a couple of months, you'll start to remember and resonate with that thing as a very natural way of thinking. So the way that I use that with strengths is I take people through a personal branding exercise where they come up with three words or phrases that represent them. And then they do it in a way that is worded so that it's memorable for them. And then when they walk through a doorway, they think of that thing. And so I do that as well. And I think it's been a life-changing habit because it reminds you how you want to show up when you're at your best and how you can show up when you're at your best, so that even if you walk through that doorway and you're feeling a little grumpy that day and things aren't going your way, you can reset and remember, okay, this is how I want to show up when I walk into this room. And even if you're not walking into a meeting room, you have a lot of listeners who are international business people, business thinkers, same for me. So I don't see a lot of the people I'm working with, but when I walk through the doorway, I use it as a metaphor. This is how I want to show up on this phone call, or this is how I want to demonstrate my personal leadership in this next thing. So that's the habit.
I mean, in the end, we just have to be aware of the fact that it's decisions and we should take these decisions actively. I really like that approach. So thanks a lot for sharing that. And Lisa, going back, we already talked about like one of the key or hardest decisions that you had to make throughout your career. I'm just wondering, did you also have a period in your life when you had feelings of doubt or insecurity going through all these different positions and challenges?
Of course.
I mean, besides the one that we have already in regards to starting your own business, but yeah, maybe also throughout the time when you've been still in the corporate world or going from one job to the next.
Of course. I think every job, I'll doubt myself. Every role change, every major change, because I'll think, am I making the best decision for the time? But I will move forward anyway. In fact, I think one of the most powerful periods of doubt I've had in my whole career is happening right now. I have been changing my role in the company to be less focused on in-person training, and I have other facilitators doing the in-person training now, and I've moved over the course of last year mostly to virtual training. So I end up doing all the international trainings for the company, but that's been phase one of feeling a lot of doubt, because I think, will my customers leave us because they started using us because they're used to the relationship with me? And will they still want to use us when I change things on them? And then the next phase is I'm doing this other product that's new to us called Stronger Teams. And it allows people to get into a program over the course of a year. And then I know that will mean that when I get more immersed in that, it means now I'll be pulled out even more from all of the trainings that we deliver and the single moment kind of services. And I'm scared. I wonder, will it work? Everything from, will it sell in the way that we've written it up? Will it work by plan? Is it the right choice? Is it going to serve people and live into the vision that I want it to be, or that we think it can be, or will it be a flop? I don't know. And it's probably the biggest business model change. It is the biggest model change I've ever done in terms of the way I've changed my role. And and it's scary because I think, well, I could keep going the way I've been going and things have been going really well. Revenue is good and I love the customers, but I have this other idea of something we can offer. And I feel like I need to know, can we do this? Can we pull this off for us and for the world? But at the same time, there's the nagging doubt behind the scenes going, gosh, it would be a lot easier just to go do it this way. And yeah, so I don't know. Maybe for some people, those doubts fade away, but I feel like they're always there. It's just to what degree they're there.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, it sounds scary, but also exciting at the same time.
Yeah.
What helps you then throughout a phase like that? You were just describing that you're in it. Is there something that maybe you can share with others that is helping you to maybe reflect on this in a different way or come up with answers?
For me, I think it's, I have to think about how do I prepare myself for being okay with it and how do I prepare customers for being okay with it. So for me, preparing me, I saved a lot of money so that I could logically remind myself, hey, you're okay. If you make $0 next year because you made a bad decision, you'll be totally fine. So the planning to get myself in the position to be able to take the absorb the risk if needed. That's one thing that I do. I'll often give myself the runway. Even when I do that, I still don't, I still find it difficult to lean on that as a backstop. But that is probably the main way that I've helped myself, is to be financially calm because I've planned it out for the time before. And then to prepare customers, I will literally, we have scripts and conversation guides that we use so that when I'm on the phone or people on my team are on the phone with a customer and they say, oh, come on, Lisa's done our session for the last 3 years. We really want her. Come on. Then how can we respond and still feel like we're being positive and we don't get really awkward and we don't make them feel disappointed? And so being able to, and some customers, it's just as easy as, okay, you know, use this other facilitator. I promise you, you will like her. You'll like him better than you even like me. They're amazing. And I can lean right into that. Or even just being confident about the role change. Come on over, do that one. And then come on over and you'll find me in stronger teams. Go join this other program and use it as your sustainment and your follow-up. We can be together for a whole year. But instead of that being the natural feel, instead I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I know, I love you too. Okay, I'll do that flight. All right. Yeah, that's a week out of my work life that I meant to be doing this other thing. And so I find it sometimes awkward in the moment because I love the customer so much. So if I pre-plan how we're going to say it, that helps a lot.
So being prepared and knowing what it is that you need in order to feel better or more stable in this given situation because you want this change. And Lisa, there's one last question. What's the one question that you wish you would have asked yourself or a mentor earlier in life?
That is a deep one. You know, what's coming up for me right now is I wish I had a mentor or a coach. Instead of only asking me what one thing, what one big dream would you follow if you had no boundaries, if you didn't have to worry about responsibilities or money or what other people want or expect of you? I actually was lucky enough to have those kind of questions, but those questions were always framed as if I'm picking one thing. And I wish I had someone help me explore 4 or 5 amazing lives and what those could look like. And they could be very different from each other so that I didn't narrow myself or stress into one version of passion or one version of a potential life, but instead to get an idea of a bigger picture view of what environment, what is life looking like? What am I doing when I wake up in the morning? The roles could be very different, but I bet the thread of people and the vibe, I bet it would have become a little clearer to me, that thread that carries through my interests, if I had explored many dreamy options instead of just one.
That was a nice way to put it. And I'm sure that this might help some people listening now to ask them this question earlier or just, yeah, trying to think about what role it is that they want to take in this colorful world with all the many options. Thanks so much for sharing this with us. It was fun. I really enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Lovely questions and unique questions that you don't get asked regularly. You're getting a new color for your audience that they're not getting anywhere else. Nice job. Can't wait for the next chat.
Happy if that's how you feel about it. And yeah, again, I really appreciate that you took the time. So warm warm regards to Texas. And yeah, hope to speak to you again soon. Bye, Lisa.
Bye.
To date, you have used upcoming opportunities or have arrived where you are now rather coincidentally, and you would like to change that by finding your individual path? Or maybe you are a manager and it is important to you to offer your high potentials career paths within your company that also fit to their strengths and individual goals? As a career and business coach, I am happy to support you on this journey. Face-to-face in Düsseldorf in Germany or in any other place by video or audio call. Get in touch for a free initial consultation now and visit me on gina-friedrich.com. I'm excited to hear from you.